This is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and I welcome you to this special cassette tape program entitled The Bible Code. I'd like to begin by directing your attention to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning there with verse 6, the latter part of that verse. It says, "All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever." The word of God stands forever. The Lord meant that, and he has seen to it. Oh, so many kingdoms have come and gone that have tried to destroy the Word of God, tried to keep it out of the hands of people, even the church in the Middle Ages tried. But the Word of God has succeeded. The Word of God has triumphed. The Word of God has been sustained. And no matter how many people come against it, it will be of no avail. As one person has put it, it is an anvil that has broken every hammer that has ever hit it. Well, you know, for those of us who are believers, we have no problem accepting the Word of God for being what it is, namely the Word of God. That is very obvious to people of faith. We know that it is God's Word, first and foremost because of the transforming effect that it has had upon our lives. We could all give testimonies about how the Word has changed our lives. It reminds me of that great verse in Hebrews 4, verse 12 that says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Well, there are other reasons that we know that the Bible is the Word of God. There is so much evidence that it is supernatural in origin, that it came from the Creator of the universe. One of those things is its internal harmony. Stop and think about it for a moment. The Bible is not one book. The Bible is 66 books written by 44 different men over a period of 1,600 years, and yet those books harmonize as if they were written by one person, which of course was the case, for that person was the Holy Spirit. Consider, for example, how Daniel and Revelation fit together like a hand in a glove, even though they were written some 700 years apart. Of course, another evidence that the Bible really is the Word of God is the nature of the histories and biographies that are contained within it. They are blunt and they are revealing. They are unlike anything written by human beings. They are non-human in their candor. You go to the ancient literature of Greece and the ancient literature of Rome, and you will find that when they write about their heroes have no blemishes whatsoever. It's a very artificial type of writing. The Bible reveals the heroes of God, the heroes of the faith, as great men with all kinds of warts, with all kinds of blemishes. It is written in a way that is non-human. Human beings do not write in the way in which these histories are recorded. Another way in which the Bible attests to the fact of its supernatural origin, and one of the ways that I consider most important of all, is prophecy. It is one of the greatest evidences that the Bible really is the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but there is no other religious book in the world that serves as the basis of a religion that contains prophecy. Not a single one. There is not one prophecy in the Quran, no prophecies in the Hindu Vedras, no prophecies in the writings of Confucius or Buddha or in their sayings. This is it. The Bible stands alone as a book that proclaims the future and does so with audacity. And prophecy after prophecy is contained in thousands of prophecies, not only the messianic prophecies, but prophecies about individuals and cities and nations, and all but the second coming prophecies of Jesus Christ have been fulfilled in history. And those concerning his return will soon be fulfilled. There is a fourth reason that we can say that the Bible had supernatural origin, and that is its incredible wisdom. It is absolutely unsurpassed in literature, in the wisdom that it provides, its precepts for daily living, its moral and ethical content. None of this could have come from fallen humanity. Or consider the knowledge of the Bible. The knowledge that is contained in it is absolutely amazing. Advanced medical and scientific knowledge that was written long before its scientific discovery. This knowledge is contained in the Bible before science even discovered it. Consider the hygiene laws of the Law of Moses. These are very, very advanced. It wasn't until the last century, the 19th century, that we discovered the concept of germs and the concept that they could be transferred from one area to another, and that we needed to wash our hands after going to the bathroom, or wash our hands before a meal, or that doctors needed to wash their hands after performing autopsies before they went to examine people. These hygiene laws were given thousands of years ago by God in the Law of Moses. I remember reading about the Black Plague during the Middle Ages, that the people of Europe blamed it on the Jews because the Jews were not dying in the numbers that the Gentiles were. And, of course, the reason was that they were following the hygienic laws of the Law of Moses. The significance of blood in the circulatory system is in the Bible long before it was discovered by man. Ocean currents, wind currents, the shape of the earth, the hydrological cycle of weather, all of these are in the Bible. The second law of thermodynamics. I remember I almost majored in physics. I love physics. And one of the fundamental laws of the universe is the second law of thermodynamics that was not discovered until the last century. That is the law that everything in the universe is running down. Everything is going from order to disorder. Everything is decaying. You'll read it in Romans 8, where Paul says the whole universe is in bondage to decay. In the 19th century, a new science began to develop that would provide additional evidence of the Bible's accuracy, the science of archaeology. You know, the history of biblical archaeology is both ironic and humorous because it is a field that is dominated by skeptics who are determined to use archaeology to disprove the Bible. But every time they turn a spade of dirt, they uncover new evidence that verifies the Bible. They've got to be the most frustrated group of scientists in the world. Do you realize that by 1800, that Bible skeptics were saying that proof positive that the Bible was full of myth, legend, and superstition was this constant reference to three cities that Jesus ministered in, Chorazin, Capernaum, and Bethsaida? They said they never existed. They had disappeared from the face of the earth. Today you can go visit all three as a result of archaeological excavations. By 1800, they were saying the Bible is full of myth, legend, and superstition because Nineveh never existed, Assyria never existed, the Hittites never existed. The archaeologists have uncovered them all. And now David Roll, an Egyptologist in London, has published a new book called Kings and Pharaohs, in which he shows that the Egyptian chronologies are 300 years off, and that when you account for those 300 years and start digging in the right places and looking in the right places, you can find all kinds of evidence that has been there all along, evidence that the Jews did have their origin as a nation in Egypt, that they did come out of Egypt and go through the wilderness wanderings, that they did conquer the land of Canaan, and that there were great empires under David and Solomon. The proof now is overwhelming. Reminds me of Kathleen Kenyon, who excavated Jericho back in the 50s and decided that Jericho was completely destroyed 250 to 300 years before the children of Israel came into the land. Now, Roll's research shows that's exactly when the children of Israel came into the land. 250 to 300 years before the archaeologists have been saying that they came. Now comes another piece of evidence that the Bible really is supernatural in origin. The Bible had to come from a creator God, and it is perhaps the most spectacular piece of evidence that has been uncovered yet. Let me introduce this to you by reading from Daniel chapter 12 and beginning there with verse 8. Daniel is talking about prophecies of the end times. As long as God gave him prophecies about the days in which he lived, he understood them. When it came to end time prophecy, he did not understand, and he kept calling out to the Lord, "Lord, tell me what this means. I want to know what it means." And finally, in Daniel 12, verse 8, the Lord says, "As for me," Daniel says, "I heard but could not understand. So I said, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of those events?' And the Lord said to me, 'Go your way, Daniel.'" Quit bothering me, Daniel. "For these words are concealed, and they're sealed up until the end time." Now, I think there are several meanings to that. The meaning I've always given it is there are certain prophecies that cannot be understood until the time comes for them to be understood. Some of these are due to historical developments, and others are due to technological developments. For example, all of end time prophecy focuses upon the nation of Israel. Well, how could you understand those prophecies when there was no prospect that the nation of Israel would ever come back into existence again? Those prophecies can only be understood since the reestablishment of Israel in 1948. So there are historical events like that that the Bible has been waiting on for us to be able to understand end time prophecy. Many relate to technological developments. For example, in Revelation 11, it says that during the Great Tribulation, two great witnesses of God will be killed by the Antichrist in Jerusalem. Their bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and they will suddenly be resurrected and raptured to heaven. And the whole world will witness this, and the whole world will be amazed. How could the whole world witness two bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem before 1957? Because it was 1957 when the Russians put up the first Sputnik. Today we've got satellites of all kinds circling this globe, and all you have to do is point a TV camera at them, zap it up to a satellite, and the whole world can look up on those two bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem. So that is the way I've always interpreted this, but there may be some further meaning to this statement that everything will not be understood until the end times. And we're going to see that as I move into this new discussion with you of this new evidence of the Bible as the Word of God, supernatural in origin. This is what I call the Bible Code. The Bible Code. This is a book that has just been published by that name. The author is Michael Drosnin. He is a secular Jew who has served for years as an investigative reporter for the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. He lives and works in New York City, and he describes himself as a non-religious skeptic who does not believe in God, but has become convinced that the Bible was produced by some, quote, higher intelligence because it contains a code that reveals future events in detail. Now, the event that propelled the Bible Code into the public eye was the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in November of 1995, over a year before Rabin was assassinated. In September of 1994, 14 months before his assassination, the author of this book, Michael Drosnin, flew to Israel and met with a close friend of Prime Minister Rabin. The friend was the Israeli poet Haim Guri. He gave Guri a letter that was immediately passed on to Rabin. The letter read as follows, quote, "An Israeli mathematician has discovered a hidden code in the Bible that appears to reveal the details of events that took place thousands of years after the Bible was written. The reason I'm telling you about this, sir, is that the only time your full name, Yitzhak Rabin, is encoded in the Bible, the words, quote, 'assassin that will assassinate,' cross your name. That should not be ignored, sir, because the assassinations of Anwar Sadat and both John and Robert Kennedy are also encoded in the Bible. In the case of Sadat, with the first and last names of his killer and the date of the murder and the place and how it was done. I think, sir, you are in real danger." The letter was given to Yitzhak Rabin in September of 94, and he sent a message back through his friend. The message was simply, "I am not a mystic. What will be will be." Well, 14 months later, the assassination occurred. And as soon as the name of the murderer was released, Michael Drosnin returned to his printout of the Bible Code that had revealed the impending assassination of Rabin and found the murderer's name, Amir, adjacent to the prediction. Now, that is what has brought all of this to the public eye in a best-selling book called The Bible Code by Michael Drosnin. Now, let's talk a little bit about the development of the code, and then I will tell you specifically about the code and how it works. First, the development of the code. As far as we can tell, the search for a code began with the great scientist Sir Isaac Newton, one of the greatest scientists who ever lived. What most people do not know is that he was a very devout evangelical Christian, a great student of the Bible, and especially of Bible prophecy. He wrote a commentary on the book of Daniel and another on the book of Revelation, and he became absolutely convinced that there was a hidden code in the Bible that would reveal the future. A lot of that was based upon this scripture I just read you from Daniel 12, that in the end times certain things would be revealed that Daniel could not understand at that time. So Sir Isaac Newton was convinced, based upon that scripture and other things, that there was some sort of code in the Bible. He learned Hebrew. He spent half his life trying to find the code and was never successful. The next step in the code development, as far as we know, came during right before World War I. There was a rabbi in Prague, Czechoslovakia, a rabbi by the name of Weissmandl, and he began to experiment with the Bible, looking for codes. He came up in the pre-war years of World War I and between World War I and World War II. He began to notice that if he would skip a certain number of letters, that he could begin to spell key words. For example, he noted that if he took the first letter of Genesis and skipped 50 letters and took the next letter, and then skipped another 50 letters and took that letters, and then skipped another 50 letter and took that letter, that it spelled Torah. And he found that that was true in Genesis at the very beginning and true in Exodus at the very beginning. And then he noticed that although it was not present in Leviticus, that it was present in Numbers and Deuteronomy by doing it backwards. It was as if Genesis and Exodus were pointing to Leviticus, and then Numbers and Deuteronomy were pointing back to Leviticus, and Leviticus was the key book because Leviticus tells about sacrifice and the importance of blood and how there can be no forgiveness of sins without the sacrifice of blood. Weissmandl noted all this, wrote a few papers that didn't get very much consideration. They were not widely distributed, but he was the one who seemed to find this type of code in the Bible. He called it ELS, equidistance letter spacing. Equidistance letter spacing, where you would count every so many letters, like every third letter, every fifth letter, every tenth letter, and see if by doing that you could spell out things in the Bible. Well, the next step in the development of this code came in the 80s with a remarkable man by the name of Eliyahu Rips, R-I-P-S. He was a world-famous Israeli mathematician, and he ran across a paper by Weissmandl, and the paper aroused his curiosity, and he began to investigate the matter of the possibility of a Bible code. Now, Rips is a Russian who was arrested in 1968 by the Soviet government for demonstrating against the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia. Western scholars interceded for him, and he was finally released and was allowed to immigrate to Israel. In the process, he stopped off in Prague, Czechoslovakia, to visit the very country that he had defended, and that's where he ran across these papers by Weissmandl. Incidentally, this man, Eliyahu Rips, is an Orthodox Jewish believer who wears the black suit, the black hat, the yarmulke, the long side curls, big heavy beard. He looks like a rabbi. He is an Orthodox Jewish believer, unlike Michael Drosnin, the writer of the book, who is not a believer at all. So it's interesting that God brought together an Orthodox believer with a total skeptic to produce this book. Eliyahu Rips currently teaches at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He has also taught at the University of Chicago and UCLA. He is one of the world's leading experts in what the mathematicians call group theory, which is the field of math that underlies modern-day quantum physics. So he's very, very well known. Now, the author of the book, The Bible Code, Michael Drosnin, heard about Rips. He heard about his research during a trip to Israel in 1992. He was totally skeptical, but being an investigative reporter, he thought he would investigate it anyway and perhaps expose it for the fraud that it was. So he went to meet Eliyahu Rips. His skepticism began to melt when Rips turned on his computer and began to show Drosnin one historical discovery after another, one major writer after another together with the names of their works, one major invention after another together with the names of the inventors. In fact, let me just read to you a section from the book here that summarizes some of these miscellaneous prophecies, and this is just a few of them that Eliyahu Rips had found using the Bible code. Drosnin writes, he says, apparently every major figure, every major event in world history can be found with the level of encoding that we already know and understand. All the leaders in the World War II, Roosevelt, Churchill, Stalin, Hitler, are there. America and Revolution and 1776, all three, appear together. Napoleon is encoded with the words France and also with Waterloo and Elba. The revolution that changed the 20th century, the Communist Revolution in Russia, is encoded with the year it triumphed, 1917. Great artists and writers, inventors and scientists from ancient to modern times are also encoded in the Bible. Homer is identified as the Greek poet. Shakespeare is foretold in a single code sequence that spells out not only his name, but his deeds. The code says, Shakespeare, presented on stage, Hamlet, Macbeth, This is amazing, folks. He continues, Beethoven and Johann Bach are both encoded as German composers. Mozart is identified as a composer of music. Rembrandt is encoded with the words Dutch and painter. Picasso is encoded with the word artist. Every major advance in modern technology appears to be recorded. The Wright brothers are encoded with the word airplane. Edison is encoded with the words electricity and light bulb. Marconi is encoded with the word radio. The two scientists who defined the universe for the modern world, Newton and Einstein, are both encoded in the Bible, each with his major discovery. For example, with regard to Sir Isaac Newton, next to his name appears the word gravity. Einstein is encoded once, and right above his name, the words, they prophesied a brainy person. The word science is overlapped by the words a new and excellent understanding, and these words cross his name. And right below Einstein, the hidden text states, he overturned present reality. I'm telling you, folks, this is an amazing discovery. You must get the book, you must read it, you must study it, and you must study the charts and diagrams that show these the actual codes and show the words and the names. It is an absolutely amazing thing. Now, as Drosnin stood there and watched all this, what really caught his attention was when Eliyahu Rips pulled up a prediction concerning the Gulf War. Remember, this was in 1992. And Rips showed him that he had found in the Bible code the prediction that there would be the Gulf War, that it would be started by Saddam Hussein launching missile attacks against Israel. All of this is in the code. And it even gave the exact date that the missiles would be launched. And Eliyahu Rips pointed out that he had found all this 3 months before the war actually began. At that point, Michael Drosnin, the skeptic, was hooked. He got a copy of the code, of the software that could be used to decipher the code, took it back to New York with him, and he began to work with the code. Now, let's look at how this code works. The whole system is based on ELS. That means equidistant letter spacing. And here's how it works. First, the entire text of the Torah is fed into a computer with no spacing between the words. As originally written. That's the way the Torah was originally written. There was no spacing between words. It's just a long line of letters. Well, it's fed into the Torah as if it's one long line of letters. And there's over 300,000 letters in the Torah. We're talking about the first five books of Moses. Then the computer is asked to find a name or a word or a date using equidistant letter spacing. The search is normally done in the Torah in the first five books, consisting of 304,805 letters. Different equidistant sequences are run by the computer until the word is found or until the computer reveals that it cannot be found, which is often the case. Now, if you look at the exhibit that came with your tape there, you will see the example concerning Yitzhak Rabin. The computer was told to search for the name Yitzhak Rabin using equidistant letter spacing. And the name appeared only once using a skip sequence, get this now, a skip sequence of 4,772. 4,772. And it was found between Deuteronomy 2, verse 33, and Deuteronomy 4, verse 42. Now, folks, that is a tremendous skip sequence. And you can understand now. Well, first of all, let me consider. After finding the word or words or phrases, the computer program then stacks the rows containing the key letters so that the word reads vertically, just as on your exhibit. Incidentally, this is not an artificial stacking. The computer sees the letters of the Torah as one long string, and when it finds an ELS match, the computer program automatically rearranges the text in lines corresponding to the length of the skip sequence. Thus, if the skip sequence is 150, then the text is rearranged into lines 150 letters long. That causes the match letters to line up vertically. And then, once they are lined up vertically, they start looking for words in and around the keyword which they found. So, because of the long skip of 4,772 letters to obtain the name Yitzhak Rabin, this particular sequence runs quite a distance, from what did I say? Deuteronomy chapter 2, I believe it is. Let me just check. Yes. To Deuteronomy, and I'm sorry, it's not chapter 4, but it's Deuteronomy 2 to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Chapter 24. And that's where they found it. Now, as you can readily see, the key to unlocking the code has been modern computer technology. It would take forever for a person to manually search for Yitzhak Rabin using skip sequences, because you see, you would begin at 2. And you would have the computer go all the way through the Torah, 308,000 letters, and check every second letter to see if any of those spelled Yitzhak Rabin. Then if that didn't do it, you'd do every third letter, every fourth letter, every fifth letter, every sixth letter, every seventh letter, every eighth, every ninth, every tenth, and you'd keep going. Well, it would take an individual a lifetime to keep doing that until he finally got up to every 4,772nd letter. That is why this whole thing is completely dependent upon modern computer technology, where the computer can do these sweeps so very, very, very rapidly. And that is why, in his book, Michael Drosnin says that he believes that the code has been a time lock code, a time lock code. It's been there all along, but it's been waiting for the key to unlock it. And the key is the modern computer. And therefore, he relates the time code to Daniel 12, verses 8 and 9, which say that there are going to be things that will not be understood until the end times. Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment about the initial tests that Eliyahu Rips conducted to establish this code. Folks, these tests are absolutely amazing, and in my opinion, they completely establish the authenticity of this particular code. He tested the code in a very, very unusual way. First of all, he and some mathematical colleagues took some associated words, words like husband and wife, words like hammer and anvil, associated words. They took 300 pairs, 300 of associated words, and they asked the computer to look for these pairs together in the book of Genesis, just the book of Genesis now. Now, think about this for a moment. The book of Genesis has 78,064 letters. They asked him to look just in the book of Genesis, and they found all 300 of the pairs using equidistant letter spacing. This was published in a scientific journal in 1988 in Europe, and the claim was that the odds of this happening accidentally were 1 in 50 quadrillion, and they challenged the mathematical world to prove them wrong. They were never proved wrong. Now, that was just the first step in establishing this code. Just think of it, 300 associated pairs, word pairs, and they found all 300 in one book, the book of Genesis, using equidistant letter spacing. The odds of that happening are 1 in 50 quadrillion. Well, the second test came in 1994. In many regards, it was even more incredible. Now, the second test that Eliyahu Rips and his mathematical associates conducted to establish the validity of the code. The second thing they did was to select out of a Jewish encyclopedia the 34 Torah sages who were considered to be the 34 greatest Torah sages in all of history. These are men who spent their lives studying and writing about the Torah. Now, they fed the names of these individuals into the computer, and they asked the computer to find their names in the book of Genesis. And the computer found all 34 names in the book of Genesis using equidistant letter spacing. And not only that, but adjacent to each name was the date of either the birth or death of the individual. Think about that for a moment. And then, to make sure that they really had something, they went back to the Jewish encyclopedia, and they selected the next 32 Torah sages and added their names and found all of their names, all 66 names in the book of Genesis using ELS, and next to each name, either the date of their birth or their death. Absolutely incredible. But still, they were not satisfied. They wrote up all of those results, and they had them published in an American scientific journal. And again, that was in 1994. They asked anyone who could disprove them to do so, and no one to this day has done so. They did something else, though, at the suggestion of some scientists. They then did identical searches in other Hebrew documents. They took every Hebrew document they could think of, old and ancient, and ran ELS searches to try to find any of these pairs, associated pairs, or any of these names, and were not able to find them. They even took the Hebrew version, get this, the Hebrew version of War and Peace, and ran it, and could not find any of these associated terms or any of these names. Folks, it is absolutely amazing. The research has been tested because they have offered the computer program to anybody in the world that wants it. The research has been tested and verified by mathematicians at Yale, Harvard, Princeton, as well as by the senior code breaker at the National Security Agency in Washington, D.C. All attest to the validity of the code, and none have an explanation for it. None can explain how in the world this took place. Well, let me tell you about some of the interesting discoveries. 6 months before the 1992 presidential election, the code revealed Clinton's coming victory. His name was crossed with the word president. In 1994, 2 months before the Shoemaker-Levy comet slammed into Jupiter, producing the biggest explosion ever seen in our solar system, the author, Michael Drosnin, discovered the name of the comet. Can you believe that? The name of the comet, Shoemaker-Levy, discovered it in two places in the code, once in Genesis and the other in Isaiah. And in the Isaiah section, the precise date was given for the impact, the 8th of Av, or July the 16th. 1 week before the Israeli election in May of 1996, the author Michael Drosnin discovered a prediction he could not believe. He believed it proved the code wrong, namely that Netanyahu would win. Yes, that Netanyahu would win. And to his absolute and total amazement, Netanyahu won. Almost again, all major historical events have been found, including modern-day events like the Great Depression, the Kennedy assassination, the Nixon resignation, the Oklahoma City bombing. Consider what they found with the term Nazi Holocaust. They found next to it Hitler, the word Nazi, encoded together, together with the phrase slaughter in Germany, and the name Eichmann, even the name of the gas used, Zyklon B, was found next to Eichmann's name. I tell you, after reviewing such precise predictions, the author asks a critical question. He says, does the code prove there is a God? And you better hold on to your seats for the answer. You're not going to believe what he says. On page 50 of his book, he answers his question. Does it prove there is a God? Well, for Eliyahu Rips, the answer is yes. Eliyahu says the Bible code is firm scientific proof. But Rips believed in God before he found the evidence, before he found this evidence. Many others, he says, will also say that we now have the first secular evidence of God's existence. I am persuaded only that no human could have encoded the Bible in this way. We do have the first scientific proof that some intelligence outside our own does exist, or at least did exist at the time the Bible was written. The Bible code demands that we accept what the Bible itself can only ask us to believe, that we are not alone. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Incredible how spiritually blind people can be. And so he puts it in terms of we are just not alone. Sound like Star Trek. After all, you know, it could have been some aliens who came from outer space and gave us this book and left or whatever. Who knows? It just means we are not alone. Here's a man absolutely convinced that this Bible has that the Bible has supernatural origin, but cannot bring himself to confess that there exists a God. It is absolutely incredible. Most of the discoveries that have been made have related to historical events rather than future events, since future events normally require information that is unknown in the present, like the name of Rabin's assassin or the site of the Oklahoma City bombing, and therefore very few events have been found before they happened. Some have, but very few, because we do not have sufficient information. After all, if we'd known that there was going to be a bomb blowing up the Muir building, then we could have found that prediction. Somebody could have written in Muir building and they would have found that it was going to be blown up. It shows so in the code, but no one knew that ahead of time. One disturbing future event that Drosnin and Rips have discovered is that Netanyahu will be murdered. It's a very, very strong prophecy. Three times it says he's going to be murdered. And the prediction has been given to Netanyahu's father, and he has presented it to Netanyahu. The father reported back to the author, quote, Bibi is not a mystic. He is very, very practical and very hard-headed. He just doesn't believe in these sort of things. The same reaction that Rabin gave. The most disturbing, the most disturbing future event that Drosnin and Rips have uncovered is the prediction of a nuclear holocaust. The terms world war and atomic holocaust are both encoded with the dates 2000 and 2006. And all of this is encoded together in the 170 words of the Shema. That's in Deuteronomy where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." It's the only place where these terms can be found. World war, atomic holocaust, encoded with the dates 2000 and 2006. They are encoded in the Shema. Jerusalem is also encoded in the same passage. Jerusalem is encoded in another passage in Isaiah together with the term atomic weapon. And the term Armageddon is encoded with the name of Syria's leader, Hafez Assad. Wow, that's chilling. The future world war is predicted to start on the 9th of Av, which is the same date that Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylon in 586 BC, that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, that England expelled all the Jews in 1290, that Spain expelled all the Jews in 1492, and that the gas chamber started operating at Treblinka in 1942. Arafat's name appears only once in the code together with the phrase, "in the end of days." Finally, the code indicates several times that the end times began in 1996. So to summarize, the code seems to predict that we are in the end times, which will culminate in a world war and nuclear holocaust, with the years 2000 and 2006 being crucial. The code also predicts that there will be great earthquakes and that the ultimate destruction of the earth will be by a comet collision. Both Drosnin and Rips are baffled by the two dates of 2000 and 2006 appearing with the references to world war and atomic holocaust. I personally have no idea what those particular dates could mean specifically. The only thing that has occurred to me is that these dates could be referring to the length of the world war characterized by the use of nuclear weapons. And then when I began to think about that, it also occurred to me that if the war started at the beginning of the year 2000 and continued until the end of the year 2006, that would be a period of 7 years. A world war using nuclear weapons lasting over a period of 7 years sounds suspiciously like the great tribulation described in the book of Revelation. As they say in German, very interesting. I'm not saying, though, that that is the situation. I am not setting dates of any kind. I am not a date setter. But I think these are things that are worth our consideration, things that we had better be praying about and seeking greater insight concerning. Well, in addition to the work of Eliyahu Rips and Michael Drosnin, there are others who are working on the Bible code. One of the most interesting is one that I want to bring to your attention and hope that you will get the book and read it. It is a book entitled Yeshua. Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. That is the actual name of Jesus in the Hebrew language. And this book, Yeshua, is by Yaakov Ramsel, R-A-M-B-S-E-L. Yaakov Ramsel. You should be able to get it in any Christian bookstore. It's published by Grant Jeffrey's publishing company. Grant Jeffrey is a prophetic teacher, and he writes the introduction to it. Now, Yaakov Ramsel is a Messianic Jew. His picture is on the back of the book, and he looks like to be a man around 65 years old, and he has spent years working with this code, looking not for secular things like Drosnin's been looking for, but looking for spiritual things, looking primarily for the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. And folks, he has found the name of Jesus all over the Old Testament using the code. In fact, he has found it in some of the most amazing places. Let me share some of those with you. One of the most astounding is the clearly messianic passages of the Old Testament. And what he did is he went to these messianic passages and looked in them to see if there might be encoded under the surface some key word. You're not going to believe what he found. An example is Isaiah 53:10. This is a whole prophecy about the Messiah in the end times. The Jews argue, no, it's a prophecy about the Jewish nation, but it's about the suffering of the Messiah. And in Isaiah 53:10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Yaakov counted every 20th letter in that verse and discovered the phrase, Yeshua Shmi, which means Yeshua is my name. That is there, coded in Isaiah 53, Yeshua is my name. One of the most well-known of all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament describes the exact price of Christ's betrayal, namely 30 pieces of silver. You'll find this in Zechariah 11, verse 12. Yaakov counted every 24th letter in that verse and found the name Yeshua. Yeshua. You think that's a coincidence? Come on. In Zechariah 12, verse 10, we have one of the most famous Old Testament prophecies concerning the salvation of the Jewish remnant at the end of the tribulation. It says, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the house of upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah 12, verse 10. Yaakov discovered that the word Mashiach, the Jewish word for Messiah, was encoded by counting every 38th letter, Messiah, encoded under the surface of that verse. The book of Leviticus reveals an astounding hidden code message about the blood of Jesus being shed for our sins. In this passage, Moses gave God's detailed instructions regarding the rules of the holy priesthood and the sacrifices for the sins of the chosen people. The passage in Leviticus 21 reads as follows, and he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of God is upon him. I am the Lord. You'll find that in Leviticus 21, 10 through 12. Yaakov, counting every third letter, spelled out a phrase, Haindam Yeshua, which means, behold the blood of Yeshua. Psalm 41, verses 7 through 10. They read about the betrayal of Jesus by his disciple, Judas Iscariot. They say, all my haters whisper together against me. They plot evil against me, saying a thing of ruin is poured out upon him, and he who lies down shall not rise again. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread and has lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may repay them. Psalm 41, verses 7 through 10. Yaakov noted that when he counted forward every second letter, he found it spelled out the word Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. It is everywhere. In the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years given by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 9, verses 25 through 27, when you get to verse 26, it talks about the cutting off of Messiah the Prince. You know what is underneath that in the code? When you count every 26th letter, the name Yeshua is embedded in Daniel 9, verse 26. Oh, my friends, we have found something new as a result of modern-day computers, a key that has unlocked a time code that is giving us new evidence that the Bible truly is the Word of God. So what are the conclusions? First, I would conclude that the code indicates clearly, very, very clearly, that the Bible had a supernatural origin. To write off these predictions, folks, listen to me, to write them off to chance would be equivalent to what skeptics do when you show them the messianic prophecies about Jesus and they just say, well, it's all a coincidence. This cannot be written off to chance. We're not talking about chance when we're talking about odds of one in 50 quadrillion. We're talking about a mastermind, the creator of the universe, who put together this thing we call the Bible. Second, and this is so important, the code confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Oh, this is so important. Modern-day Christian skeptics, I'm talking about Christian leaders in modern-day seminaries, have scoffed at the Bible, made fun of the Bible, argued that the Bible is not the revealed Word of God, argued that it's man's search for God, that's full of myth, legend, and superstition. Let me tell you something. These codes can exist only if every letter of every word is precise. And that, of course, is what the Jews did over the centuries. Every time they copied a scroll, they had to count the letters. They had to count everything. Everything had to be precise. And if there was one error, the scroll was destroyed. This confirms the verbal inspiration of the Bible, because every letter is crucial in this equidistant letter spacing. And if any letter is wrong, it doesn't work. It wasn't that God just inspired somebody to write some great literature like Shakespeare might have been inspired to write Hamlet. It is God dictating through these individuals every word that is put on that paper, using their own personality and their own style, and at the same time putting the code in there. It reminds me of something Jesus said. Find this in Matthew 5 and verse 18. Listen to what he said there in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 18, he says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke will pass away from the law until all is accomplished." In the King James, it says, not a jot or tittle. A jot is the smallest letter, and the tittle is the smallest grammatical mark. Not the smallest letter, not the smallest grammatical mark will disappear from the Word of God. I tell you, folks, it's all inspired. Third conclusion, the code confirms what the Bible says about the end times, namely that Jerusalem will be the focal point of world politics and the world will suffer a period of unparalleled horror culminating in a nuclear holocaust. This is not new information. You find all of this in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a first century man's description of a nuclear holocaust in the end times, when one third of the earth is burned up and people are covered with malignant sores from radioactive fallout. But the code confirms what is already there in the surface message. The code confirms the signs of the times, which indicate that the end is near. And the revelation of the code, I think, represents an act of God's grace. It is an additional warning that the end is near and the time is short. It is further proof that God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Unfortunately, the author's response illustrates the hardness of men's hearts. Let me just give you another quote from his book. Find this on page 179, right at the end of the book, last page. You're not going to believe this. Listen to what he says. He says, "The Bible code is more than a warning. It may be the information we need to prevent the predicted disaster. It is not a promise of divine salvation. It is not a threat of inevitable doom. It is just information." Listen now, you're not going to believe this. The message of the Bible code is that we can save ourselves. Oh, my heart broke when I read that. The message of the Bible code is we can save ourselves. Of course, what he's saying is that by finding these predictions of nuclear warfare and all, well, we can do things to prevent them and we can save ourselves. The message of the Bible, my friends, is that man cannot save himself. He cannot save himself. Yes, the Bible code, I think, will convict some people that the Bible really is the Word of God. But for many, many, many unbelievers, like Michael Drosnin himself, there will be no conviction. That leads me to the final conclusion I want to share with you, and that is the code presents a danger. The danger is the danger of Kabbalism. Kabbalism is an ancient Jewish tradition. It's the mystical idea that the ultimate message of the Bible is to be found in the spiritualization of Scripture, or in this case, to be found in a code. The Kabbalists used to say, oh, the message is never on the surface. The surface message is not what is meant. You must look underneath it, and you must have great spiritual insight and great wisdom like we have, and you must spiritualize everything, and only by spiritualizing everything can you come to the real conclusion. And the Bible ends up meaning what you want it to mean. Violates every fundamental rule of interpretation. Kabbalism is a terrible thing. It is the spiritualization of God's Word, or the belief that the real message is coded someplace. Well, my friends, that is not true. The ultimate message of God's Word is the surface message that condemns all people as sinners, commands them to repent, and calls upon them to put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the message that Michael Drosnin, the author of the Bible Code, so desperately needs to hear. It is the message that all of mankind needs to hear. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming in great wrath. God does not pour out his wrath without warning. God does not wish that any should perish, but all be brought to repentance. So God is providing fresh evidence of the authenticity of his word to a skeptical world. But don't be like Michael Drosnin. Don't be like the person who holds up a $20 bill or a $50 bill or a $100 bill to the light and says, look, look, when you hold it up to the light, you can see a magnetic strip across the bill. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? You can't see it with the normal light. When you hold it up and you can see the strip, And they become so obsessed with the magnetic strip that they never see the picture on the bill. Michael Drosnin and people like him have become so obsessed with the code that they cannot see the picture of Jesus on every page of the scriptures. And they have missed the message of God calling mankind to repentance. The message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, my friend, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray you will do so. That you will get on your knees, repent before the Lord, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then find a church, a Bible-believing, Christ-exalting church, where you can manifest your new faith in public baptism and confession and can begin to study God's Word and grow in the faith. Well, that's it. Until we meet again, this is Dave Reagan saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near. This tape has been produced by Lamb and Lion Ministries. If you would like to get a copy of our tape and publication catalog, you can do so by writing to Post Office Box 919, McKinney, 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 Texas, 75070. Or you can call at 1-800-705-8316. Again, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries.